You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. The Federal Reserve is keeping short-term interest rates near zero for the time being. Fed officials wrapped up a two-day policy meeting by leaving the door open for a possible rate hike in December. The central bank says the pace of job gains slowed while the economy showed moderate growth. Ahead of the third Republican debate tonight, Marco Rubio is answering questions that will not be asked in the debate.
Who would win in a fight, Spider-Man or Batman?
Spider-Man or Batman?
Yep.
Probably Batman.
Least favorite vegetable?
It's not a vegetable. I don't like mushrooms.
Tupac or Biggie?
Tupac.
TV show you DVR?
Ballers on HBO?
A new video posted by the Florida Senator's campaign yesterday features Rubio answering questions like Twitter or Facebook, and iPhone or Android. Rubio will be on the main stage of the third Republican debate tonight in Boulder, Colorado. CNBC will air the event live starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
GEICO presents Kathy, the Candid Realtor.
Okay, and right around here is the kitchen. Gas range, granite countertops, all those gadgets you registered for will look great up here until that toaster overheats and takes out everything in a 2-foot radius.
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the GEICO Insurance Agency makes getting covered for personal property loss and damage quick and easy. Visit GEICO.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Know what's always on my mind, kid? Safety. I live, eat, and breathe safety. When I wake up in the morning, I have a large cup of safety with two sugars and a dash of safety. Safety matters. Your safety, my safety, everybody's safety. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products, services, and resources to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. Now pass me one of those safety donuts over there. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news at this hour, this just in, House Republicans are throwing their weight behind Congressman Paul Ryan to be the next Speaker of the House. The Wisconsin Republican was formally nominated to replace outgoing Speaker John Boehner today. The full House will confirm the nomination tomorrow. A South Carolina deputy is out of work after throwing a school student to the floor. Videos show the white deputy violently flipping a female black student over as she sat at her desk. Richland County Sheriff Leon Lott said today Deputy Ben Fields was terminated based on a review of the video of the incident, but added the student had been disruptive in the classroom. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton says she will not bail out the banks if she is confronted with another financial crisis. When asked by Late Show host Stephen Colbert last night, the former Secretary of State made it clear that she would allow big banks to fail.
We don't just have big banks in our economy that pull a lot of strings and make a lot of decisions. Look at what happened in 08. We had a big insurance company that had to be bailed out.
You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I really need to ship something.
Staples has UPS in-store and all the packing and shipping supplies you need.
Great, but today's Sunday.
At Staples, you can ship 7 days a week.
Even Sunday?
Yep.
Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Flag Day?
Yep.
International Fanny Pack Day?
Seriously.
March 12th. Look it up.
Right now, get up to 5% cash back in Staples Rewards. Pack more, save more. Staples, make more happen.
5% back in rewards excludes postage, gift, or prepaid phone cards and purchase made at third-party sites. Rewards not paid on taxes, delivery charges, and coupons. See staples.com for details.
If you think Politico's plays rough today, all you have to do is look back, because every presidential election in U.S. history has been filled with sleazy schemes and outrageous tactics. John Clemens reports.
In 1836, Congressman Davy Crockett accused Martin Van Buren of secretly wearing women's clothing. In 1864, Abraham Lincoln was accused of changing his socks only every 10 days. It's all part of the research from author Joseph Cummins in his book Anything for a Vote. He uses what is called a sleazometer for all the presidential elections. So what about this election?
Well, the sleazometer right now is quivering around a 7 to an 8, and I think that's only because of the Republican group that's fighting it out together. It will reach all the way to a 10 once we have the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee set up. I think it should be a pretty dirty election, though.
I'm John Clemens.
National math scores for American students are going down. Scores have dropped for the first time in 25 years, and people weighing in cite the recession coupled with a Common Core standard as reasons for the decrease. The National Assessment of Educational Progress test is given to 4th and 8th grade students every other year, and between 2013 and 2015, the math and reading scores dropped as much as 3 points among 8th graders. Since 1990, scores in both math and reading have slightly increased every year. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's Talented People. It's already 4:10, if you can believe it, on October 28th. I'm going to give you a little update on the weather forecast. If you're sitting around here, you look outside and say, ugh, it's awful. It does feel like Halloween weekend, I guess. That's what it's just raining, basically. 100% chance showers, high near 64, southeast wind about 13 miles per hour, 100% chance of rain. That's going to happen all through the evening up until about 3 a.m. And then we're going to have a low about 61, It's going to stop raining pretty much lower down, I should say, a 30% chance tomorrow. Only a chance of showers, mainly before 9 a.m. Partly sunny with a high all day of 73. It's going to be a nice day. And then mostly clear with a low about 41 on Thursday night. Friday is going to be sunny all day with a high of 58 and mostly clear with a low of 34 on Friday night. And then on Halloween day, mostly sunny with a high of 55 and cloudy a little bit, just a little bit, with a low about 41 on Saturday night. Chance of rain all day again on Sunday, but only about 30%. It's going to be a high of 61 if you're watching football and mostly cloudy with a low around 44 on Sunday night. I would like to say that, you know, I hope you enjoyed the last hour, Talented People 3 to 4, because basically I am just such a fan, as you know, of Tina Turner. And I just love that music. I loved playing it. And I wanted to find out from you if you enjoyed it too. Because if you do, let me know. You can tweet out to me on Twitter, Jeannie Murphy PR, JeannieMurphyPR. And let me know. And then I just wanted to let you know who we're in studio with today, because our 4 to 5 o'clock hour, which is going to go so fast as usual, we actually have Claude Hyacin, and she is the mitigation director for the Sandy Recovery Office in New Jersey, and Jack Malone, he is the public assistant mitigation group supervisor. Is that right? And that's with the also Sandy Recovery Office. Now, they're here today because this is almost the third year anniversary. Is that right?
Correct.
Like tomorrow or the next day or something, right?
Yes.
It's right around here. And everybody who's out there listening is remembering it way too much. So thanks for coming in the studio, and thank you out there for listening.
Thanks.
We've had people from Sandy Recovery Office, and as you know, over the years, and every time they've come in for the last three especially, I believe that we've just had so much interest because people just want to know what's going on your side. You know, people, like I was saying earlier to our listeners, you know, the hurricane came, and then, you know, once people got electric back on, they kind of just moved on. Everybody's so resilient. And at the same time, you know, there's so many people still out there with so many challenges. You guys have been out there doing work, you know, nonstop for 3 years. So why don't you first, let's start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself. Claude, can you tell us about yourself?
Yes, I'm Claude Hyacin. Thank you for having us. I've worked with FEMA for about 12 years now. Mostly in mitigation, and our section is pretty much focused on making sure that we educate the public about during the rebuilding process to make sure that while they're rebuilding, they also upgrade. They also pay attention to codes and ordinances in their community to make sure that what happened during Sandy doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm. And I want to hear about a little from you, Jack, about yourself, and then I think we'll go back after that to learn more about that, because there is so much in what you just said, you know. I mean, for preparedness for the future, learning, and then changing, and oh, it's so hard to change.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm Jack Malone. I do public assistance mitigation, which, if I refer to it as 406, that's our internal jargon. Somebody famous and smart once said, you know, a subject matter expert speaks in inexplicable jargon. We're very guilty of that. My wife calls it alphabet soup. So I have a talent for that. If I lapse into that, I'll try to drop back out of it. I'm a FEMA reservist, so I bounce all over the country. So when Sandy occurred, I was actually in Louisiana working on Hurricane Isaac. And Christmas break came. I went home, visited my family, and I came out here. And I was out here for a year after that. And there have been a lot of challenges that we've faced there. But this is a very long-term recovery operation. So this isn't like a small disaster where FEMA is in and out in a matter of months. This is a prolonged engagement, as it necessarily has to be with a level like, or an event of this type of level. And since then, I bounced around to another couple disasters, and now I'm back. I've been back about 6 months now. And my role in all of this is with public assistance. So if it's a eligible public facility, publicly owned, FEMA will write projects to try to help communities recover those public facilities back to where they were pre-disaster. And then my role is to work with the applicants and with the state to try to develop mitigation opportunities that we can do in conjunction with the repair.
Mm-hmm.
The basic idea being, if a big hole got ripped in something, when you go back to repair the hole, there's already a hole there. You might as well put something better when you put it back, and it won't be that much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions to that, of course, as well. But in the end, what we want is to address the vulnerabilities that were exposed when Sandy came ashore.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. I want to actually, both of you guys are so interesting. Thanks so much for being here. We have a really quick break, if you can believe it's already 4:16. So we're going to go to our quick first break. It's going to be fast, so stay with us. You've met my guests, and I'm sure you're going to want to listen into some of the things that they're talking about more in detail. When we get back, we'll have about 10 minutes straight to talk, so stand by. Thanks for listening.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
All right, welcome back to the show. That's what we are doing here, as I'm learning about, as you are, the Sandy Recovery Office in New Jersey. Two of their, one's the director, one's the mitigation director, and that's Claude Hyacin, and then Jack Malone here is the public assistant for the mitigation group. And he's also here talking about what affects really the public boardwalks, bridges, and so on. Claude, mm-hmm. You've been there for 12 years, and you know, tell us a little bit more in detail about what it is that you have been doing, and if you guys could give us a little bit more insight about how Sandy isn't just your typical, like, because we feel like it was 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I know I had a, you know, lawsuit and all that stuff, or insurance, and blah, blah. But that seems so long ago. So what was it that still makes you guys here in New Jersey, like you said, you know, when you live perhaps in other places?
Well, certainly the extent of the damages that occurred both in, that occurred in Jersey, mm-hmm. Especially along the coast. It's certainly something that Jersey hasn't seen in a while. If we compare the other disasters right before that, Irene or Lee, they were nowhere near like Sandy. So obviously the toll of damages was extraordinary as well. Toll on people, obviously. Also, the housing stock. You know, we have basements here and other places like Southeast. Sometimes, I mean, those homes don't have basements. And so a huge amount of flooding and storm surge like that's definitely affected a lot of critical facilities like hospitals. And that certainly Jack's going to come in and probably talk about that and how that affected how Jersey saw its recovery, whether or not, you know, putting, let's say, electrical equipment in a basement for a critical facility is something that they had to rethink. So certainly, you know, the size of Sandy, what occurred, the level of the storm surge, that was something definitely that Jersey had not seen. So we had to sort of ramp up to make sure that the recovery was going to address things that Jersey had not seen before. Like there was extreme power loss as well. So they had to sort of look at resiliency in terms of powers. From the governor's office standpoint, when it came to the whole state recovery, power was really high on their list. And when we surveyed the local communities as well, the counties, one of their major interests was actually buying generators to make sure that, you know, in case something happens like that again, that they don't lose their critical function as a result of power loss. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, I think the impact of Cindy sort of directed the type of recovery that Jersey was going to experience. Because I think when you're affected in a certain way, in order for you to recover, I think it's a direct impact of how you fell down. It's almost like taking a fall. Mm-hmm. You're going to fall down. You're going to get up on what you have the strongest, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the recovery had to sort of focus on all the vulnerabilities that Jack talked about. Some of those things that were exposed had to be addressed. Otherwise, if there's a next Sandy or something worse than that, you know, like we took a little scare with Joaquin recently. Mm-hmm. We thought he was going to come up here, and people started preparing for that. Mm-hmm. So that sort of impact, I think Cindy opened a lot of people's eyes in terms of what it means to be protected, what it means to be resilient, and making sure that you're prepared before an event.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing also with the magnitude of the event is earlier this year, there was that microburst down in South Jersey that mm-hmm. they did get a presidentially declared disaster for. That's what we call a level 3 event. So it's generally isolated geographically and in terms of damage, scope, scale, everything like that. It's still a disaster. I don't mean to diminish it in any way by calling it a level 3. Whereas Sandy was considered a level 1, which is the biggest type of disaster we have. So Sandy comes to shore. You have 8 states that have declarations, catastrophic damages in New York and Jersey where it made landfall. This is something that truly put FEMA, the communities, the states, everybody to the test because of its sheer magnitude. Mm-hmm. So when you try to recover from that, your recovery is kind of commensurate with the level of destruction that we were faced with. Mm-hmm. And personally, I think it makes it all the more important to get in there and do as much mitigation as possible. And the great thing about Jersey is Jersey has a defiant nature. I've learned this because actually I get my mail in Arkansas. So we have Southern hospitality.
That's a different culture, right? For sure.
And you get up here and it's a very aggressive culture. Mm-hmm. And I think that works to people's advantage when it comes to mitigation because they take a hit and they say, no, I'm not going to let you hit me again.
Right.
And so what can we do so that we won't mm-hmm. take that hit again? We refuse to be victims. Mm-hmm. And it's very strong survival instinct that I admire.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And we appreciate that. Being a New Jersey girl, I do feel it. And I appreciate you respecting that. Because, you know, people talk about us Jersey people and you never know how they're going to be thinking. But no, it is true. We're ready to fight back.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's commendable.
Yeah.
And in terms of, you know, our federal programs, we come in and the government recognizes that a vulnerability to America has been exposed. Mm-hmm. A storm making landfall like
thank
this.
God, right, that, you know, that's true also, you know, that they're recognizing that, and like you say, that all of a sudden this is a vulnerability on behalf of the entire country, even though it's just the state of New Jersey, or the 8 states, by the way.
Right, and anyway, Jersey really stepped up mm-hmm. and took advantages of the government's recognition of that and the willingness of the government to put some money where their mouth was, you know, and say, hey, we recognize it's vulnerable. Here's what we can do to help support your attempts to become stronger. Everywhere you look, you see them Jersey Strong.
I love it. They have wine bottles that they make up over at our vineyards here in Hunterdon County. That way they have those on top. I love it. This is Hunterdon Chamber Radio, Talented People Show. We have a television show that broadcasts out of Princeton, New Jersey, and it's called Talented People as well. And they did a documentary last year on the 2-year anniversary. And that was the first time that our television team went down to Manilocan, and I had absolutely no idea. We used to go there all the time on vacations and stuff, and I mean, even though my kids are 20-something years old now, right, but up until about 5 years ago, we would go there. And I just didn't think about it. We went down, we interviewed the Jenkinson's Aquarium, and we learned about the water walls and everything that they had to endure and change. Like you were saying, if you're going to fix something, fix it better if you have the ability. For your sake, Claude, I don't even know where you could start when something like that happens. You need people on hand to help those that are in need. There's so many types of needs, the special needs, everything else. Mm-hmm. There was no power. Mm-hmm. And then you have hospitals like you're talking about and you know, generator losses and everything. When you look at it that way, 3 years ago is not that long ago to make change. I mean, especially the kind of enormous changes that you have made. Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit about, I know that you mentioned it, and you know, there's, when you talk about Jersey people, you know, when the power went out, and when I was driving through like the Sauerland Mountains over there towards Princeton, getting closer and closer to more of the damage area than we are right here in Hunterdon, even though we were affected not nearly as bad. You know, power was out for so long. And then there were people who had spray painted, you know, they were so upset with the electric companies and stuff because it took so long. And it felt like everybody, like you talk about vulnerabilities, you know, a vulnerability was everybody seeing that if a storm could come through in one day and 13, 12 days later, there's still no power. Right. And it's that is vulnerable in a nutshell. And I know that people out there listening can feel the pain of that. So can you talk a little bit about what's happened since then on that note, those types of things for preparedness?
Well, you know, the power companies are private. Obviously, they are our mm-hmm. partners as well. I'm sure they have recognized the advantage of resiliency as well. Mm-hmm. Leaving your customers without power for an extended period of time certainly, you know, ruins business. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they have stood up, you know, resiliency issues to make sure that they are protecting whatever it is that they are. And it could be that Sandy also opened their eyes in terms of protection. Maybe protections that they hadn't thought about before, perhaps putting things underground or actually mitigating things to a level where, you know, wind just cannot shake it or something like that. I know there are some examples for traffic lights instead of, for you know, to allow the light to actually fold or turn around on itself.
Wow.
As opposed to drop and break or something like that. Mm. So I think they are trying new things as well. It's in their advantage. Mm-hmm. It's better for business.
Mm-hmm.
But we do see the examples where, you know, they are overwhelmed. When we're talking about a million people without power, it's not easy for any one company to put that together.
It's impossible.
Even if you get a squad of folks all up from the southeast to come up and help.
There's so many,
you know, getting
so
power for a million people. It's
and thank God. Yeah. Our street, we're over on Manners Road in a very, very in the middle of nowhere, I want to call it, like tumbleweed. And they had just back-to-back-to-back license plates from south, you know, a lot of people who'd come up to help, and they were all doing what they could. And I thought that was just awesome, you know. I do, you know, I'm trying to just get our listeners out there to remember a couple things, because when I see you guys, I feel it so much more than if I'm just listening to it. You know, when the power went out, and then that also destroyed the ability for the gas tanks to be used. So then we had the no chance of getting any gasoline. And then you got one, you know, you're, you know, on a rationing system pretty much, or you got to get out of the state and you don't have any gas. And then the cars are breaking down. It was catastrophic. And those are right. those are the basics. You guys are like way past, you know, those, you know, just putting, you know, things to make sure that they're better handled next time. But then all the other things that you're going to tell us about. So would you like to add something for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, actually, Jersey, you know, from that standpoint, when it comes to mitigation, Jersey thought about a very interesting project that they call Retail Fuel. And that project was scoped out to make sure that gas stations that are along evacuation routes actually have generators, so
wow.
that does not happen again.
That's
so we did fund a major project where the state of New Jersey has mobile generators, and not only does it have mobile generators, the gas stations will have what they call Quick Connect, which is a connection that the generator needs to actually provide power. So the 52 mobile generators, depending on where something's going to make landfall, Jersey can actually strategize where to align those generators to make sure that if they tell you, take evacuation route one all of gas stations on along Evacuation Route 1, wherever that may be, will be aligned with generators to make sure that there is gas.
That is so exciting and encouraging. Yeah, so there you go, the perfect example of what you guys are working on and have been doing so much to change and improve upon, making sure that in the future. That's awesome. I'm really happy to hear that myself, because my son took off and I couldn't find him. Our cell phone died and I didn't know what happened to him. He was, thank God, okay. We're going to go to our break real quick. This is Talented People. We're talking about almost 3 years is the anniversary date of our Hurricane Sandy here in New Jersey. And we have Claude Hyacin and Jack Malone from the New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office in studio. So we're just going to go to a quick break. It's not going to be too long. We're just going to go to news and weather, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Thanks for listening.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. House Republicans are throwing their weight behind Congressman Paul Ryan to be the next Speaker of the House. The Wisconsin Republican was formally nominated to replace outgoing Speaker John Boehner today. The full House will confirm the nomination tomorrow. Republican presidential candidates will face off tonight on CNBC for their third primetime debate. It'll happen in Boulder, Colorado at 8 p.m. Eastern. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and Carly Fiorina are among the 10 candidates taking the stage. The South Carolina deputy who threw a high school student to the floor is being fired.
He picked the student up and he threw the student across the room. That is not a proper technique and should not be used in law enforcement. That is a violation of our policy. School resource officer Ben Fields was terminated from the Richland County Sheriff's Department.
You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Do you have trouble remembering names or where you left your keys? Ever feel like you're just in a mental fog? Over 140 million Americans over 40 suffer age-related memory loss. That's because as we age, our brains stop producing vital neuropeptides, making it harder to retain important information. In fact, by age 50, the average person has lost half their short-term memory capacity. That's why a team of neuroscientists created Cebria, a medical miracle shown in a double-blind clinical trial to dramatically improve short-term memory in just 30 days. Better memory and clarity can boost your career and help you enjoy time with your kids and grandkids. Call 800-413-8643 now to receive a full 30-day supply of Cebria risk-free. Dramatically improve your memory with Cebria. Just call 800-413-8643. That's 800-413-8643. 800-413-8643.
Welcome back to the show. It's Talented People, 4:30 already on October 28th, 4:33. I just want to give you a quick update on the weather forecast again, if you happen to be in the area. Today, it's just rainy. It's 100% rain. It's yucky out. But it does feel like fall, I have to say, and it does feel like Halloween, so we'll let that slide. Showers high about 64 today. Tonight, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 3 a.m., then showers likely. Some of these storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain with a low about 61. Thursday, chance of showers, mainly before 9 a.m., partly sunny with a high of 73. It's going to be mostly clear on Thursday night with a low around 41 all day. Friday is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 58 and clear on Friday night with a low of 34. Halloween day, mostly sunny with a high of 55 and a low about 41. Little clouds. Sunday, chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high of 61 and then mostly cloudy continuing on Sunday night with a low about 44. And then as usual, partly sunny and kind of nice again on Monday, 62. So anyway, we're back into our conversation. That's going to go way too fast now at 4:34 on October 28th. Claude Hyacin, she is the mitigation director for the Sandy Recovery Office in New Jersey, along with Jack Malone, who's the public assistant in the same group for survivors here with the State of New Jersey Recovery Office, mostly for the public works as boardwalks, bridges, and so on. So I'm actually just going to put this over to you, if you don't mind, Jack, to kind of tell us more about these projects that you're working on and what is going on that everyone should know about.
Well, I brought in a sheet of paper, obviously, because I can't remember everything off the top of my head. But if you want to play the numbers game as far as this disaster, there were thousands of projects that were written. But for all of the projects that FEMA wrote that were over $500,000, 85% of those had some type of mitigation, which goes back to what I was talking about before. People really recognized that they were unwilling to submit mm-hmm. to taking a hit like Sandy again. Mm-hmm. And so they took a lot of actions to make sure that didn't happen.
Proud of you, New Jersey.
Right. And overall, for our program, the Public Assistance Mitigation Program, there were $500 million spent in the recovery just here in Jersey.
Wow.
So what I thought might be kind of interesting for your listeners was I was going to go over the top five as far as dollar amounts. The largest was the Passaic Valley Sewerage Authority, or commission. And what you need to understand about this disaster is that when the surge came in, it hit everything that was low-lying. Mm-hmm. All the sewage treatment plants are gravity-fed. So it makes sense that you would put those plants at very low elevations,
right?
Which made them all very vulnerable. So most of our biggest mitigation and our biggest recovery projects were these critical facilities. So when I say critical for the Passaic Valley, they directly serve 1.5 million people.
Wow.
Which is, I read somewhere that it was 25%, I think, of New Jersey.
Yikes.
And they do secondary treatment there for an additional 2 million people. So if we do a mitigation for them, we're talking about potentially having an impact on 3.5 million people. But there's more than that. When that plant went down, because it was flooded by about 5 foot of surge, took out the whole plant.
Oh, my God.
Most of the plant is subterranean. So it filled up everything that was underground with everything. Yeah, you're making that
I'm
face.
Just dying here because I never heard this part of the story. And you have it on the top three or so things that you guys have.
This is the top project,
My God. Thank you for being here and sharing this because, honestly, that's painful to think about. And I feel so bad for those 3.5 million people.
Well, I've got a gross out for you. While they were down, 840 million gallons of raw sewerage was dumped straight into the Passaic. So, FEMA.
I don't know how that got past me. I think our listeners are going, what?
Passaic Valley. Everybody recognized we can't allow this to happen again.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
So, they stepped up. They have a very aggressive mitigation.
I don't even know how in 3 years you could even start to change, but you're already saying that's already being handled, right?
It's already in the process of they're trying to implement these things. So they're going to build a flood wall around this facility that's built to a 500-year elevation. So that means a 500-year elevation is a 0.2% probability of getting flooded to that depth in any given year. Since it's right by the coast, it's got to be able to handle the wave action, so we also accounted for that. Mm. Once you build a big wall around a facility like that, you have to account for what if you have a rain event.
Mm-hmm.
The rain's going to fill it up like a bathtub, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have the same basic problem. So we also installed, or in the proposal, is pump stations to pump any rainwater out.
Hey, oh, that's great.
Well, what happens if you lose your power once again?
Oh, God, here we go again, right?
So there's an on-site standby power system.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when you make a flood wall around a facility, you've got to redo all of the drainage because mm-hmm. this is a 140-acre facility. So that was our biggest project. That
was oh, my God. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm only going to add on just for the sake of people out there thinking, again, we're only talking about 3 years ago. I've seen, you know, I want to say highway, you know, reconstruction of a perhaps bridge detour that's taken 25 years to get just one, you know, to prevent a light on a highway. So I'm like freaked out right now. I'm so proud of you guys. Go ahead. That's so great.
Well, beyond that, our next one on the list, Middlesex County Utilities, the Sayreville Pump Station, which directly serves 700,000 people, and they were flooded from the Raritan River, and they took a similar tactic, I mean, with the flood wall to make sure that that water wasn't going to hit it again. Now, these are very comprehensive projects.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just because of the fact that you're talking soft soil and you're low, like you said, and now you're trying to get to a point where you said, was it 0.02 or 0.2% chance? I mean, you want to get that number so down to nothing, which you got.
Right.
I mean, the challenges, the talented people doing the work, I have to say, you guys and everybody on your team, all your engineers and everything else, I just want to thank them, too, because that's just extraordinary.
Oh, absolutely.
I had no idea.
Yeah, this isn't me. These are the team, the people that they brought in.
I had no idea we were going to get.
It's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to pull off writing up projects like this, this is not one person.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Passaic Valley folks who mm-hmm. just went above and beyond. And they have engineers, and they have architects, and they have people that are liaisons, and we had the state was very heavily involved, and you know, FEMA was very heavily engaged. This was an extremely coordinated effort. And
well, that's what you guys do, that, you know, thank God that you come in and are able to be on location, like you said, you know, mobile from one state, you know, disaster to another one, and then just be able to man it from the top down and organize it. Because, I mean, just looking at, you know, Homeland Security, it's the same thing. You know, you were able to take the state of New Jersey and all the different types of different companies that work usually not together,
right,
and get them all to work together. And I know we've been learning about that in your services over the last couple of years. But today is an icing on the cake, I got to say. Go ahead.
Actually, I said I was going to do five. I'm going to stop with number three. This one is, we're really proud of this one. This was, our applicant was New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, the Bureau of Coastal Engineering.
Okay.
So in front of, facing the Atlantic, in front of Seabright and Monmouth Beach, I believe, yep, they have the seawall. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's been out there and drove, there's a section of it where the road is actually much lower and the wall is right beside it. Well, there was a problem that they originally recognized in 1965. Now, that's 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had a storm, and there was damages caused there, and the reason why they were caused is there's gaps in that seawall. It was never completely filled in. Now, since 1965, we're actually including it, there have been 12 events since then where there were damages there to that seawall as a result of there being gaps.
Mm-hmm.
The water fills up, it mm-hmm. gets focused in that one place, it erodes everything, it's
yeah,
lots of
and
damages.
And that probably continues to make the gaps and everything, too. It's just like having water damage is such a bugger. So
right,
I can just
right.
imagine when you started it off with a little bit, but that's not 1950. Okay, so what happened?
So they got together with us and they were like, we have this idea. We have a situation. We've been trying to address it for years, and more or less, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here we had an opportunity with 406 mitigation because it took a hit in Sandy to try to do some mitigation. Well, when we're figuring out if we can do mitigation, we also take into account if it was damaged before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bureau of Coastal Engineering actually had physical records that went back to the 1965 event. And so we were able to document all these storms, and they had scans of these original documents from the, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way through. We ended up with 12 different events, and we said, so would it be cost effective to do something given how often there are damages
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, our analysis showed that, yeah, this would be great money to spend on the spot. There's going to be such a return on the investment because it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great accomplishment. This is, mm-hmm. You know, they will be filling in those gaps. And by doing that, they're going to have a unified seawall in that location. It's 4.7 miles long. We're just addressing the gaps. But finally, it's going to be solid. It'll be able to withstand these events without basically having holes in the wall. And they were tremendous to work with. There again, you get these large, complex projects, and we are almost like facilitators.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the heavy lifting.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then we get to claim credit and we say, hey, mm-hmm. we came in, we did this wonderful stuff. Nah, actually we didn't. We facilitated them to do something great.
But you're also sharing the information, which I have to give you credit for, because, you know, you guys are, you know, you deserve credit. Everybody deserves credit where credit's due. And you guys did. You put the teams together and the expertise of these people, I just can't even imagine. And then when you come back and actually spend time, because your office calls us up regularly and says, this is something we want to talk about, the anniversary is about to happen, and let us share with you what's going on. If you didn't, nobody would know. You know what I mean? People wouldn't even
right.
think about it. I wanted to also just let everybody know, I mean, to me, Mike Hogg alert. I'm sure out there my listeners are going, Jeannie, shut up. All right, but I do want to mention, I dropped my son off, my husband, in Austin, Texas, just in August for school. And when we were coming back through, we went by the Ponch Train and out by where I used to live in New Orleans. You know, I was talking to my husband about it because, I mean, just thinking about those structures and that you're talking about putting those barriers up, and people need to have the barriers and they understand why when bad happens, but to be able to have them to withstand it's just an engineering miracle. It really is. It's like building pyramids to me. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. We're going to go to the break and we'll be right back with our friends here from the New Jersey State Sandy Recovery Office, Claude Hyacin and Jack Malone. Stay with us. We're almost at the end of the show already. What a bugger. All right, we'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
All right, welcome back to the end of the show. It's already 4:47. Jack Malone here is in studio with Claude Hyacin. They're both with the Sandy Recovery Office in New Jersey, and I'm just going to turn back over to both of them because we learned so much from Jack just in the last segment. So, Claude, why don't you bring us up to date, too, and tell us more about this because it is just extraordinary information.
I think Jack talked about a lot about the public facilities. Mitigation is also focused on private property. We were basically, the HMGP focuses on acquisition, elevation, at least from the state perspective. That's how they decided they were going to cover once it was decided, you know, what part of money would be given to the counties, what part of money would be focused on addressing flooding, but from an individual perspective. So obviously for the folks where, you know, the neighborhoods were repetitively flooded, they flooded during Irene, during Lee, also during Sandy. A lot of them were pretty much ready to just, you know, leave that neighborhood. So the Department of Environmental Protection sort of, you know, coordinated with mayors to make sure that, you know, folks were not being forced out of their home, were not being told that, you know, we have a program to buy your home, why don't you get out, or anything like that. Folks had to be willing to sell. They had to be willing to relocate, obviously, and the remaining land could not be developed for any future use unless it's like a park or maybe a mobile home park or something recreational. But it's basically almost condemned, you know, at perpetuity. Once we come in and purchase a home and demolish the home, remove the debris there, the land needs to go to its natural function. You know what I mean? To absorb water or you know, this community can benefit from it, but not in any for any housing stock or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of those projects.
Wow.
Also, the coastal areas really were not interested into buyouts. They were interested more into staying into their neighborhood, but elevating their homes. And so that also, that was also a major project. Jersey put a lot of their mitigation money in there as well to mitigate by elevating the property instead.
I just can't even imagine that undertaking. And then again, it's such a personal, and it's like a tradition. There's a tradition. A lot of the people who have lived there, their family's been there forever and ever and ever. And you have to get everybody in the community to agree, and all this stuff that happens that everybody wants to, but there's so many little things. Everything's personal.
Yes. And to be honest, it's never an easy decision for a community to make. To have like a whole neighborhood disappear and no longer be there. Obviously, tax bases are affected and stuff like that. So they really need to, they pretty much weigh what comes in. You know, having people continuously flood and go for funding all of the time, or continuously repair drainage system that are completely topped each time there's a new event. So it's a delicate balance, obviously. Mm-hmm. So a lot of coordination. And again, from the federal perspective, we really don't want anybody to be coerced into selling the house. Mm-hmm. So the person has to sign something like a voluntary participation to make sure that they were not coerced. So if they are, the federal government can pull out of that if eminent domain was imposed. So that's an example.
Nah.
From the community's perspective, like counties, I think I said before, there was a lot of power loss after Sandy, and they were really interested in purchasing generators to make sure that they have generators if something like that were to happen again. So from the county's perspective, their recovery truly focused on power resiliency. So we've had multiple programs that focused on buying generators, buying bigger ones, or getting newer ones, or something like that, or purchasing generators for areas that didn't have generators to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think from a recovery standpoint, Jersey tried to look at, because funding is always limited. There's never more money than damages.
Mm-hmm.
So you always have that delicate balance to make sure. You know, how do you satisfy everyone, which is something that's difficult in and of itself, even when we're not talking about funding. So let alone when you have funding and you sort of have to prioritize. And the state was in a difficult position. We really had to look at, help them look at risk and very objective analytics for them to make certain decisions. You had to really focus on the most affected areas, for instance, because that's an objective way to look at things, as opposed to saying, well, this is what we're going to do in the coast, that's what we're going to do up north, or that's what we're going to do in the south, because there was not enough money available for the damage that we assessed. Therefore, they really needed to concentrate on certain counties that were truly devastated and that had the most difficulty to rebuild by themselves.
And that's still a group, it's a county. It's not, it's catastrophic, $500 million you're talking about. And I'm thinking, one person could be living in a little stream where that your barricade from 1950 may have just had a little opening or something, and a little thing of water just kept draining straight down to this one person's house into their one little basement and causing so much frustration. And then just for that person to figure out what to do with their house and how to get someone to fix it. And then you guys took it, and it was like the entire state of New Jersey and, like you said, eight other states, or eight in total. I just can't even believe it. Can you ask or answer to me, I'm curious, when it comes, like you said, recently we had lucky break that we didn't have another hurricane, but it was the same season kind of thing. Irene was too painful, too close, and everything. Are we in New Jersey? Do you have any feel for, are we in a target zone? Like, it seems like I never heard one thing about hurricanes in New Jersey. Then all of a sudden, in the last 5 years, I've heard, I'm like, I feel like I'm just like waiting for a hurricane to hit tomorrow.
Well, we're underwater.
It's on the water. That's what
so,
it is, huh?
The East Coast is vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, comparing vulnerabilities is one level, but to be honest, folks love the water. We love to live by it. There are risks that we take.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the focus should be at least on ensuring these types of risks.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the government doesn't dictate where people should live or shouldn't live, although there are limitations. There are places we would not encourage you to live, or we wouldn't put money for you to do anything there, simply because we know how much the risk is elevated.
The probability,
but as communities that are close to the coast, things have changed where, if you're going to live in a high-risk area, you're going to need to insure that sort of risk and sort of.
Did that change too? Just curious. I mean, I know that there was a significant amount of, you know, money that in tax assessments and so on. And absolutely. You know, for people who don't live in those areas, we all agree, whatever. But the question I have, do you know if was when, because I understand certainly that flood insurance and living in a flood place and being in the probability areas and stuff, it should be more expensive. But I am curious as to, homeowners, do you have any idea, like, was there ever a chance, was there a time before the storms where a home didn't have to be insured and now it is required to be insured, or is there, do you have anything like that, do you know offhand? I was just curious.
Well, very, very briefly, if there, you know, we map certain areas, and certain areas are more high risk or more risk prone than other areas, and based on, you know, if you're going to a bank and get a loan, if you're going to get that mortgage, obviously the bank's going to want to make sure that, that, you know, their risk is also insured. So if you're in a high-risk area, obviously that's going to be mandatory. And there are areas or not. But from our perspective, every single property, to be honest with you, should be should be insured, because you just don't know what's going on.
Well, we just heard a lot around here, so, you know, in our area about people who had homes that were owned for 100 years plus. They didn't have mortgages, and they didn't think about it. It wasn't routine operating procedure. They didn't need to answer to a mortgage company and all that stuff.
You know, the reality is that, you know, developments change landscapes. You know, whatever you didn't see 10 years or 20 years ago, you're going to see now. Some people are shocked that, okay, I've never had to pay insurance. Now I'm having to pay insurance. The thing is that where your home sits, but whatever is going on around in the environment where you sit also affects where you are, even if you didn't have to pay insurance.
Well, that's the thing. So what you guys do.
When landscape change, vulnerabilities also change. So something that was invulnerable 10 years ago may be vulnerable now.
But it is all progress. And like there's a little bit of divine intervention there as far as the vulnerability thing. I mean, all your work for 3 years, thank you. We're at the end of the show already. But, you know, when you were saying a couple things that come out to me again, the $500 million is astounding. All that work, Passaic and everywhere else, the top three, and you got to only them. And for everything you're talking about and the progress, thank you. And, you know, to realize the vulnerabilities is worth $500 million when you think about some of the other things that we're up against in the world, you know. So thanks again for being here.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I hope our listeners out there got a lot out of that. I'm like so emotional now. I did my whole like tribute thing. I was all high and excited. Now I'm like melancholy because I'm thinking about all those people and still things that have need to be attended to. But thank God for our New Jersey Sandy Recovery Office and these wonderful people, Claude Hyacin and Jack Malone and everybody that you guys work with. Thank you. And you guys keep up the great work. For you out there, I need to hear from you again. Let me know if you like the idea of doing this every now and then tribute, because I could do something once a month and I had a good time. I really liked it. So I'm probably going to do it anyway, even if you don't get in touch with me, which I know you won't. So anyway, it's 4:58. Have a great day. And talented people signing off, getting ready for the real estate show.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. House Republicans are throwing their weight behind Congressman Paul Ryan to be the next Speaker of the House. The Wisconsin Republican was formally nominated to replace outgoing Speaker John Boehner today. The full House will confirm the nomination tomorrow. Republican presidential candidates will face off tonight on CNBC for their third primetime debate. It'll happen in Boulder, Colorado at 8 p.m. Eastern. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and Carly Fiorina are among the 10 candidates taking the stage. The South Carolina deputy who threw a high school student to the floor is being fired.
He picked the student up and he threw the student across the room. That is not a proper technique and should not be used in law enforcement. That is a violation of our policy. School resource officer Ben Fields was terminated from the Richland County Sheriff's Department.
You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. My office computers are running really slow. Do you?
Staples has the latest Windows 10 devices. They're lightning fast.
But I want
a great deal. With Staples Price Match Guarantee, you'll always get the lowest price.
Wow, and do you have plans?
No, actually, I'm free.
I meant tech service plans.
Yes, we do, and I'm still free.
With Staples Price Match Guarantee, you'll get more tech for less. Staples, make more happen.
Price match valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
If you're
money card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
A giant white military blimp is on the loose after breaking free from its tether near Baltimore. According to the Baltimore Sun, NORAD says the blimp broke free of a cable that connected it to the ground at Aberdeen Proving Ground. At last word, the blimp was flying at 16,000 feet over Pennsylvania, and two fighter jets were keeping close tabs on the big balloon. The helium-filled blimps are equipped with radar and provide an early warning system should the U.S. be attacked with missiles, rockets, or other threats. The third anniversary of Superstorm Sandy is tomorrow, and many in New Jersey are still rebuilding and